Jeff, thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Susan. It's a pleasure to be here.
To start, I wanted to ask you a little bit about how it came to be, or how the novel came to you. What led you to decide to write for Batem?
I worked for the Newfoundland Hansard starting in 1990 till about 2000. So I finished the book in 1995, actually. And while I was in those first 5 years, I wondered how, listening to members speak, I was a transcriber for the Hansard in Newfoundland, how I could capture how members of the legislature got the business done.
And as you went about that, and as you were capturing in real life, and then so obviously having a very clear sense of how to depict it in a novel, how did you come to draw a story out of it for a novel?
Well, I wanted to have a, since I was writing it in the 1990s, I wanted to have a fictional province, a fictional legislature, with fictional parties that I would make up on my own to reflect what was going on at the time in the 1990s with the economic status that most provinces had, and environmental issues, the usual sorts of things that come up about health and social services, things like that. I needed to find a way that would not exactly duplicate everything that's said in the course of a day of members speaking in a house, but would give a sense of how we govern ourselves. And that seemed to me a very important thing for everyone to know.
Absolutely, what it's really like and what's going on.
Yeah, this is the choice that we make, how we govern ourselves. And we go into a voting booth, and we're there with a bunch of names, and we choose who it is we know, or sometimes we don't know anybody. What do we use to choose that name? Do we choose someone who's the most noble person that we can think of, who will bring a great deal of integrity to the position? Do we choose someone who we do happen to know, maybe because they're family or our friends? Do we choose someone who we just like the look of on television? There's any number of reasons why we might mark an X next to a block. But once we do that and that person goes off to represent everybody in our constituency, then they contribute to how we govern ourselves. But every legislature is the house of the people. So these representatives are speaking on our behalf. Therefore, we participate in how they conduct themselves.
Absolutely. And what I also found very interesting in reading through the records of debate, because it's not just what is said during debate, but then how it's transcribed and recorded. And that comes up as a theme within your book.
Yes, I'm sure that once this interview is over, I will wish I had not said something that I said, or had said it better, you know. And I'm sure that everybody listening would say to themselves, gee, I really wouldn't want to see a transcript of how I talk during the day, because I'd like to sound, you know, shinier and better and more articulate. And we ask of the people that we send to the legislatures that they stand up on their feet and speak a lot. Perhaps a lot more than we would normally do on matters of provincial concern and sometimes national concern, sometimes off the cuff. And the purpose of the Hansard Division, which is within all the legislatures in Canada, in the provinces, the territories, the Senate and the House of Commons, is to make more clear through a judicious kind of editing what the member is getting across. So in the book, there are edited and unedited transcripts, so one can see what the difference might be.
It's the, if only we could see ourselves as others see us.
Yes, something like that, or hear ourselves as others hear us, perhaps, you know.
So true, and I think what the novel also does an excellent job of capturing what's going on in the background, what the staffers, what the bureaucrats need to address through the course of their day-to-day work in their interactions with the elected officials and with one another to capture a record of debate.
There is a lot of intra-office and inter-office memos that go through the book, because it's only told in the form of political debates, lists of who the members are, and correspondence. You don't often get a good idea what these people are, or even what their names are, the bureaucrats, I mean. They're the faceless bureaucrats,
nameless, faceless bureaucrat,
that we always talk about, you know, and I thought I would have fun with that by just giving some of them initials, so they don't have genders or anything, or first names or last names. But yet they have to get the job done. And sometimes that can be, as I think anybody who works in any company or small or large or small business would know, sometimes there's a lot of bureaucracy involved. And it can get quite frustrating to move just a tiny bit due to all the loophole, the letters that one has to write, or the permissions one has to get, or the regulations one has to follow, or the begging that one has to do to the people who have money.
Absolutely. Now, and what kind of, I'm curious, as you were writing the novel, first, what kinds of decisions did you find yourself having to take? What kinds of challenges did you face in your own writing process that you had to address?
Well, I had this amount of material in my head, what people, what members did, and I constructed a way to tell it in one of those, you know, waking up after midnight kind of moments. You know, you go, oh, that's the form that I want to take. So I made it look like a Hansard document looks like. And once I had decided on that format, I realized that there was no need to provide full characterizations to people. I didn't need to go into the childhood of this or that character, or write lyrical language about how they regarded sunsets or something like that. I was going to use political debates. There was room for rhetoric there, so that would, you know, come up quite naturally at times. But again, I wanted to get across certain things about how we govern ourselves, so I wanted to focus on what happens on the floor of the legislature and the personalities of some of the members, hopefully, and I think do come out in how they speak in the legislature. But having made that decision about the format, it freed me up as to not having to talk about certain things like their pasts or what was going on in their minds. I thought, that's been done by other people, and I won't do that. I'll just do something else. And with that format, then I could step back from the entire material by having to speak in a variety of voices. And the cast is quite large. At one point, there's an election, and a few other parties entered the House. So in total, there's about 70 characters that I had to create different ways of speaking for, which gave me a good objective distance at times from the material. So I didn't have to think about characterization. Things come up in question period and in debate that are hot topics for a while and then get dropped. I didn't have to think about plot in that way. I do have a bureaucratic plot that kind of simmers along.
That weaves its way through,
but it was very minimal. So I wanted to get away from those constraints, which are sometimes unconscious, and choose conscious constraints, like the format and what it is I could not afford to say.
Well, and it's interesting, because I don't think many people have the opportunity, they have the opportunity to read records of political debates. They may or may not take that opportunity, and it's an interesting, so it's a learning process to read the structure. And it would be in real life as it is with the novel. And I'm curious what kind of feedback you're getting. I mean, I realize the book it's been out, I guess, a little while now. What kind of commentary are you getting from those who work in the actual community?
One of the things about the book is that the documents that I kind of used due to my work experience are available to the public. So anybody could read a Hansard, as you just said. You can go online and read it, or you can go to your own legislature if you happen to live in the town or city where it is, and view the proceedings. So it's all open material. There's really nothing that I had extra access to that nobody else did. So I wanted to use that very public record so the public could say, hey, I can go do that. I can read that for myself, you know. And one way to get involved, perhaps, in the political culture of the province or the country. the response to my doing that comes from different directions. There are people who have, as you said, have never read the record, so they don't know what a Hansard is. And so if they read the book, they very quickly learn how to view the material and, oh, this is what this is, and it isn't much of an impediment. There are people who also work in other Hansards across the country and across the world, really, who have read the book and have recognized their job in it. I don't hear very much from politicians. I do hear from bureaucrats. And the bureaucrats are they're very quick to say that they've read the book and they've gotten this or that out of it. And the critical acclaim in literary journals has been quite positive, and all mostly remark on the odd structure of the book. So the politicians are very silent. But the bureaucrats and some of the political staff are a little more vocal.
It rings home in our daily lives.
I read one review on some site or another where a person had read the book, and they said, oh, I can't really comment on rating this book because I work in a place that's very close to this kind of work. I don't know what kind of work that was. And this person continued that it was uncanny but creepy how it was representative of where they worked. Other people have commented on the letters between the various people mm-hmm. and indicated that that's a picture of middle management that seems true to life. So,
yeah, I would.
Those are the responses that I get generally.
I would have to agree there too, Jeff. I wanted to ask you about your editorial process and how your creative process works from conception through refining the book and taking it to getting it to a point where you wanted to have it. How did that go for you?
I started writing it. First off, I write it in longhand. I wrote it in longhand and finished it in 95, and it was much longer than it is now, of course. It almost always is. Eventually, I edited it down to about 135,000 words, which is the length that the book is now. But I had to get rid of passages that I once thought were quite good, but which seemed just to slow the material up. And I wanted to make sure that I kept the reader's interest by not dwelling too long on some of the minutiae of the ordinary routine of business that occurs in a legislature. As I was writing it, I was thinking, of course, who's really going to read this, you know? I mean, it's kind of specialized, but I was writing it at the time that, for instance, the Bloc Québécois were Her Majesty's official opposition, which just struck me as a potentially extremely rich source of irony, mm-hmm. if nothing else, you know. And the book seemed timely at that time. And it seems timely today, too, in the circumstances that we have.
Absolutely. And might we talk you into sharing a piece of the book with us, Jeff?
Sure, I think I can do that. I'm easily talked into that one. I have a little bit of a debate here that I could read. There's a member up for the governing party, and his name is Mr. Spry. And I'll just read you his response to an opposition member's comments in debate. And I'll try and keep this short, because I know you just want a short bit. So here's Mr. Spry, who's the member for Elysium Plains. There's no need for members to get excited. I simply wanted to have a few words on this myself. The member for Tyler Crossing undoubtedly has the best interests of her constituents at heart. Those poor people in the Kylie, Tremont, and other areas, if they could only see her now, they would be proud. At least then they'd know what their member looks like. I happen to know she doesn't visit the district very often. And we all know other members' districts. I was a salesman in my former life before devoting myself to public service, and it's good to be in politics despite all the naysayers and namby-pambies and cynics who call us down to the ground. We do good jobs, all of us, even the loony lefty over there tucked away next to the sergeant-at-arms. Now there's something to conjure with, how a fine man like our sergeant-at-arms medals glistening even in these lights on his chest, a fellow who stood for something in the Second World War, fighting against Nazis and in the Korean conflict, too, how he can keep his stomach in one place while next to the little Bolshevik over there. So that's sort of the general tenor of some of the conversations in the legislature.
It's a lot of fun, Jeff. What kinds of things do you find you're writing about now? What's on your mind?
I live in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, and so I'm working on a novel that's set there in a kind of Charlottetown of my own making, and we'll see how that goes. I'm trying to write a book that takes itself apart at the same time, so I'm keenly interested in structures of books.
Well, there's so much room and opportunity to try new things there, and seem to be right out front on that.
Yeah, I try and be, anyway, you know. We all have our obsessions.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. If people were looking to find out more about you or about your work, where might we best direct them?
Well, I have a website, jeffbursey.com. So people can go there and they can read, they can see the cover of the book and they can click on that and be taken to a site which gives some excerpts from the critical responses. There are also some audio interviews, and perhaps I can add this one at a later date, that one can listen to. I've been on CBC a couple of times and National Public Radio in the United States. I've been grateful to be given that kind of attention, and if anybody goes to that site, they can also read my literary criticism or other things that I've got there.
That's fabulous. And you're coming to Ottawa. You'll be here tomorrow night?
Yeah, I always like going to Ottawa.
It'll be wonderful. Octopus Books, 7 p.m., if I understand correctly?
I think we get there for 7, and I think the reading starts at 7:30, and Christian McPherson's going to be doing the reading first, and then me.
Okay. And I'm going to say thank you very much. I'll let our listeners know we have a giveaway coming up. I have a signed copy of Jeff's novel for a caller, and we'll do that in just a few moments. And I wanted to say, Jeff, thank you for that.
Thanks very much. And if anybody in your listenership comes out to the reading, it's kind of theatrical, so I'll be asking them to take part.
Excellent. Okay.
Okay.
That's fabulous. Listen, thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you, Susan. All the best to you.
You too. Bye now.